Welcome to the P.T. Mata-Hari Department Store first quarter 2016 earnings call, hosted by Michael Remsen, CEO, and Richard Gibson, CFO. I must advise you, this conference is being recorded today on Tuesday, the 26th of April, 2016. I will now turn the conference over to your first speaker for today, Mr. Michael Remsen, CEO.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our first quarter 2016 earnings call. I would like to thank all of you today for taking the time to be on our call. As is customary, we will be recording this call and will post it to our website immediately afterwards. This call is going to be fairly short and sweet today. I'm very pleased to report that we have delivered an exceptional performance in the first quarter of 2016. Our compelling value proposition of high-quality, affordable fashion continues to grow our market share and led us to deliver a total sales increase of 13.2% and a same-store sales growth of 9.4%. Our merchandise margins improved, our costs were well contained by our productivity initiatives, and we were able to deliver a net income increase of 31.8%. In addition, we still anticipate store growth of six to eight for the year, with at least three new stores opening before LeBaron. Now I will turn it over to Richard, who will go through our results in more detail, after which we will open up the call for questions. Richard?
Thank you, Mike. Good afternoon, everyone. At 4:00 P.M. Jakarta time, we posted three announcements to IDX and also to our website. Our first quarter 2016 unaudited financial statements, summary slides for our first quarter results, and also a brief press release. As in previous calls, I'll be talking you through the earnings slides, which will take around 20 minutes, and then we'll have a Q&A session afterwards. If you have any questions after the call and once you've reviewed the detailed financial statements, please feel free to contact us on our investor relations email, ir@matahari.co.id. Referencing the summary slides that we posted to the website, let's start off by turning to page four. Page four shows the highlights of the first quarter. Our total gross sales increased by 13.2% over last year to 3,261 billion rupiah. We delivered a 9.4% comp store sales growth in the quarter, continuing the momentum from Q4 of 2015. Our merchandise gross margin increased to 35.3% of gross sales, up 40 basis points over last year. Our EBITDA increased by 18.8% over last year to 387 billion rupiah, up 60 basis points. Our net income, as Mike mentioned, increased by 31.8% to 244 billion rupiah. Page five outlines the macroeconomic data. As you can see, the situation remains fluid. The positive trend seen from October to January's Consumer Confidence Index faltered a little in February and March. In addition, there has also been a slight uptick in inflation. Overall, we believe it's too early to say that there has been a significant change for the better in the economy. We really need to see how the second half plays out. That said, we do remain optimistic that during the second half, we should see further improvements in demand. Slide six shows our same-store sales growth by region. Q1, as I mentioned, shows an uptick in terms of comp store performance across all regions. Overall, Greater Jakarta had a 6% same-store sales growth, Java, excluding Jakarta, an 11.8% growth, and outside Java, a 9.9% growth. Coming off a low base last year, Kalimantan delivered a 2.5% positive same-store sales growth increase, whereas Sumatra and Sulawesi continue to be strong with 11.2% and 19.7% respectively. On Java, West and East Java were the strongest, with East Java coming in at 14.6% same-store sales growth. In terms of new stores, we're forecasting 6 to 8 new stores for the year. And again, as Mike mentioned, we anticipate 3 of those stores opening before LeBaron. In terms of sales, looking at page 8, we again saw strength in our private label business. Overall, direct purchases in the quarter represented 36.7% of our business, compared to 34.9% in the same period last year. Moving on to page 10, we have broken out our Q1 results. You know, the graph on page 10 shows us delivering a 13.2% same-store sales growth in Q1. And page 11 shows our comp store performance. And as I mentioned, we saw a pickup in sales and achieved a 9.4% same-store sales growth. If we break out our comp performance, it was very interesting to see a lot of strength in our unit growth, similar to the fourth quarter of last year. Our unit volume increase was 4.4% during the period, and our AUR increase was a relatively benign 4.8%. We're still guiding a same-store sales growth improvement slightly above 2015. However, we'll give more specific numbers at our second quarter earnings call, by which time the LeBaron period would have finished. Turning to page 12, you can see the increases achieved in our merchandise margins. Due to the improved profitability from our direct purchase business, we achieved a 40 basis points merchandise margin improvement in Q1. As the initiatives in DP continue, we do believe that in 2016, we should be able to maintain or slightly improve overall merchandise margin. First quarter expenses on page 13 were down 20 basis points. And on a comp basis, we actually improved 120 basis points over last year. Some of this was due to some timing differences compared with last year, around 80 basis points. The remainder coming from leverage obtained primarily in electricity savings. On page 14, we can see our EBITDA performance up 18.8%. So in Q1, we achieved an EBITDA of 387 billion rupiah. This represents 11.9% of sales, up 60 basis points over last year. If we turn to page 15, you can see that our net income rose 31.8% to 244 billion rupiah, outpacing the increase in EBITDA growth due to interest income as opposed to expense, and a small reduction in the effective tax rate. Turning to page 16, inventory days calculated on an LTM or last 12-month basis declined from 125 to 118 days. This reflected a particular focus on inventory management and was aided by a stronger sales performance. In terms of CapEx, we remain on track with our store refurbishment program, with 22 remodels planned for 2016. And approximately half of our CapEx is earmarked for new stores and refurbishment. Overall, our committed CapEx for 2016 is estimated at around 450 billion rupiah. At our AGM, which is scheduled for May the 26th, we will be proposing a 70% payout ratio on 2015 earnings, which is an increase in rupiah terms of just over 46%. Turning to the table on page 18, this summarizes our financial performance for the first quarter compared to the same period last year. And in summary, on page 19, for the quarter, strong merchandise assortment drove total sales up by 13.2% and same-store sales up by 9.4%. As Mike mentioned, merchandise margins improved, reflecting the continued strength of the direct purchase offering. Our cost management initiatives drove store expense leverage, and overall EBITDA was up by 18.8%, with net income up 31.8%. And, of course, our expansion plans continue, and we are anticipating 6 to 8 new stores for the whole of 2016. So thank you very much for listening to us today. Like Mike said, it's a fairly short presentation today, just looking at one quarter. But now we'll open it up and see if anybody has any questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press the star followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the star key followed by the number 2. We'll take our first question from Reggie Susanto of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, Mike and Richard. Congratulations on the very amazing set of results. I think it's one of the strongest in the whole consumer space, and it definitely highlights Matahari's value proposition for customers and also for investors in that regard. Just a couple of questions from me. First question is on the same-store sales in Jakarta, which remains a bit weak. Is there still impact of the store renovations there in Jakarta? And if so, probably could you quantify that impact? Second question is on the upcoming Lebaran season. You did mention that the situation right now, it is in a bit of a flux. How confident is management on the upcoming Lebaran season? And last question is on the CapEx. The other half of the $450 billion in CapEx, could you maybe give some color on what that is being used for? Thanks.
Certainly. Nice to hear from you, Reggie. I think just kicking off with Jakarta sales, I think what's encouraging is Jakarta was up from Q4 of 2015. But actually, as you point out, we are still having some final work that's being done. One of our malls is continuing with some renovation that we hope will be finished shortly. And also, we're just finalizing some refixturing and some remodeling in one of our largest stores in the region. So we do believe that, you know, as we move into Q2, we should see further improvements. I think as it relates to the Lebaran season, I think that really our stance would be, you know, we are cautiously optimistic. And I know that we've said that before. I think that what is encouraging when you look at Q1 is that, you know, if you actually look at the unit growth, you know, when you look at the two components that drive that, one of which is an increase in basket size and the other one is an increase in number of transactions, pretty much all of the unit growth has come from an increase in the number of transactions, which suggests that, you know, given our, like I said, very benign increases in average unit retail, we think that probably today we offer better value than we ever have done before. And so we really believe that our customer base is growing. And I think that, you know, the slightly lower units per transaction is probably a little bit more reflective, we think, of the economy. So I think that we are well positioned if things pick up. But like I said, I think at this point we're just trying to be a little bit cautious. In terms of CapEx, Basically, about half of it relates to the new stores and the refurbishment. The balance is really just maintenance CapEx, replacing, POS terminals in the stores, various other maintenance IT and non-IT projects. So, fairly general. And as you can see, we do remain fairly consistent year on year, because it is important for us to continue with those refurbishment programs to make sure that our stores continue to look fresh.
Okay, thank you very much. And again, great job on the very strong results.
Thank you.
As a further reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from Samuel Santanta of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, Mike and Richard. Congratulations on the very strong results, as Sir James mentioned. Just a quick one for me. You mentioned that you're aiming to open about 6 to 8 new stores this year. Could you please elaborate whereabouts of the stores? Is it going to be located in Greater Jakarta area, or is it going to be on other commodity-rich areas?
Yes. If you look at slide 7, what we've done is we've broken out the 6 to 8 stores by region, and so that should give you the information that you're after.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I mean, just to add a little bit of color to that, we do anticipate, of those stores, we do anticipate being in at least 3 new cities, which I think is quite exciting for us. And actually, none of those are likely to be in Kalimantan this year.
I see. All right. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Our next question comes from the line of Adrian Joza of UBS. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, Mike and Richard. Just 2 questions from me. On the first one, on the EBIT margin, has actually improved. You mentioned that due to a DP merchandising program. So I just want to know what's the trend like for the EBIT margin differences in between the DP and the CV for now as compared to last year and then 2 years ago. And is it narrowing or widening? And the second question is on the operating expense to sales ratio. You mentioned that it's down by 120 basis points in the first quarter compared to last year. And you mentioned in the call that about 80 basis points was actually due to timing differences. Could you further clarify on this? And in that case, will this be that for the full year, the operating expense to sales ratio will be down just by 40 basis points? Thank you.
Sure. So I'll comment on the OPEX first, and then I'll comment on the merchandise margin. So I think on the OPEX, I think what's actually quite exciting, really, is that we are definitely generating the savings that we anticipated, and actually then some, in terms of electricity. If you recall, we really started the LED program in earnest during 2015, and by the end of 2015, we had, I think around 67 stores completed. Now, obviously, that was a phased introduction throughout the year, so you would actually anticipate greater savings in the first quarter than you'll see later in the year. Nevertheless, I think that it does bode well for the year. I would not extrapolate that performance and use that as a forecast for the year, though. I think that if we can maintain our OPEX as a percent of sales, I think really that will be the key. Because, we do, as you know, face, some cost pressures. Minimum wage, I think, as we have mentioned before, this year we anticipate to be an increase, as it affects us, of about 12.1%. But nevertheless, I think off to a good start. Our payroll program is also continuing to bear fruit. If we look at the margin, and you'll see this when you you know, you can actually calculate our direct purchase and our consignment margins from the financial statement. Very, very strong performance on the direct purchase side, up quite significantly. The CV margin, I think what's interesting about the CV margin, if you look at it over, over many years, it's very, very constant, very, very constant. In the first quarter, the consignment margin was fractionally below the same quarter last year. Little bit of that was driven by a change in the sales mix, as cosmetics put in another strong performance in the first quarter. But like I said, I think overall, again, if we can maintain our merchandise margins and maybe even improve them slightly during the course of the year, we'll be very happy.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Matthew Wibow of Mandiri Securities. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, Mike and Richard. Thank you for taking the call. Just a quick follow-up question from Regis earlier. He asked about the Greater Jakarta. How about the rest of the region in Java and outside Java? Because if you take a look at other retailers, they are trending down actually in the first quarter. And I just want to get the sense for Matahari, the good performance for Java and outside Java, is it because of the low base effect last year, or you have seen improvement in purchasing power and the economy in that region? Thanks.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, actually. You know, if you look at, you look at West Java, that frankly, everywhere in Java, West Java, Central Java, East Java, the performance in the first quarter was very strong. But building on, interestingly enough, very strong, basically double-digit increases last year as well. You know, we have found that those areas for the last couple of years have been very strong. To the extent that, the productivity of the stores in Java X Jakarta are actually now leading the company. I think that, perhaps a lot of industry has moved outside of Central Jakarta. And, if you look at the map that we actually show there, which looks at GDP growth, you can see that, there's definitely, I think above average GDP growth. I think minimum wage in 2015, I think it was, exceeded actually Jakarta as well. So, yeah, we continue to see strength. If we look outside of Java, obviously, as we've mentioned before, Kalimantan, remains, nice to see it turning positive, but, it does remain, weaker for us, which again is because we believe a number of the coal employees have actually kind of shut down, coal employers have shut down operations and people have lost their jobs. But generally speaking, in other areas, like I mentioned, we still see strength. And I think the encouraging thing when you look at Q4 and then you look at Q1 on top of that, it does seem to be fairly broad-based. But nevertheless, we still want to be cautious at the moment. I think, like I said, really we need to wait until the second half, where we see a little bit more trickle down from the increase in the infrastructure spending that the government is putting in place, then I think we'll be on even more solid footing.
Okay, thank you very much.
As a further reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. Our next question comes from the line of Jun Su of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, Michael, Richard. This is Jun. How are you doing?
Hi, Jun.
Great, Jun.
Hi. Okay, so I have a couple of questions. Firstly, on the same-store sale growth, The 9.7%, is it very stable across the 3 months, or is it 1 month up, one month out, as seen in some of the other retailers? Could you comment a little bit on that first?
There's a little bit of a swing because of the change in Chinese New Year, a little bit of a swing because of the change in Easter, but it's exactly right where we planned for it.
Okay. All right. So could you comment a little bit? I don't know whether it's possible, like April so far. Is it trending pretty much in line with first quarter, or, could you comment a little bit on that?
I think that's premature at this point. Unlike many retailers, we don't actually, as you know, provide our monthly same-store sales figures, simply because it is so impacted by seasonality. But I think that, you know, our comment that we continue to remain optimistic, I think will probably give you a good feel.
Okay. And my next question is that, because I know that any of this improvement in the top line sales is actually come from the e-commerce, meaning your private label is being sold in the, you know, mataharimall.com. If yes, then how much is the impact? Yeah.
Well, we don't disclose that information. The reality is that the sales online are not material and do not impact our results.
Okay. All right. My next question would be on the remodeling. Sorry?
So I was going to say also, just to add to that, you know, at the point where e-commerce sales become material, you know, that would not be part of our same-store sales growth. So
overall top-line growth. That's what I mean. Like, that's why I asked, the overall top-line growth is also pretty strong, 13%.
Yeah.
So any of it is – so it's still immaterial to kind of have a significant impact to lift up the top-line growth.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So my next question would be the remodeling of the stores. It seems that it's a different word, refurbishment and remodeling. Remodeling seems to take a lot of work. It's like in the Jakarta, there is some major kind of remodeling going on that has been affecting the same-store sales growth in Jakarta. So I just wonder, these 22 stores that plan for remodeling in this year, are they the same type of remodeling that may affect the same-store sales growth of the stores?
Well, we don't, thinking about the stores we're going to remodel this year, I don't see that there will be a material effect on our business by the stores that we're remodeling this year.
Okay, so when the stores are undergoing remodeling, they are still included in the same-store sales growth calculation. Is that correct?
We don't pull them out. We leave them in the same-store sales while they're under remodeling, because their stores remain open. We don't close our stores to do that.
Okay.
So we leave them.
Okay.
Open.
Okay, got it.
Also,
okay.
So in the fourth quarter, I think, like we've mentioned, you know, we did a couple of big stores as well.
Yeah, got it. And my next question is, in terms of on the back end, you know, is the company is actually doing something proactively to, whether it's digitalized the inventory, et cetera, to kind of prepare itself for online shopping on the e-commerce, the O2O strategy? Is there any updates? You know, it's already one quarter since last time we talked about the e-commerce. I just wonder what is the, could you give us some update on the back-end strategy the company is actually undergoing, any study that you're undergoing to kind of capture this e-commerce potential in the future?
I mean, no change at the moment. We don't have really a lot more to add, if anything, actually, from the last time we spoke. So at the moment, like I think we mentioned before, we basically currently have supplied a certain amount of directly purchased merchandise to Matahari Mall for them to sell. But as we did point out, as Mike mentioned on our last call, you know, our longer-term strategy, obviously, is to be an omni-channel retailer, and you know, we think that the ultimate goal is for you know, basically people to order online and then fulfill it from the local store or have them pick it up from the local store. You know, to prepare ourselves for that, we are, you know, actually, you know, in the middle of making a number of changes to our merchandise systems and processes. But really no real more detail to add on that at this point. Probably later in the year.
Sure. Yeah. And my last question would be in your about your new store, the 6 to 8 stores that you plan. Could you remind us that the 6 to 8 store, all 8 stores have been attained the MOU, and the shopping malls are already under construction, or it's only a part of the 8 stores that you plan?
Actually, June, to be honest, we have more than 8 stores with an MOU.
Okay.
So all of the ones that we're opening this year, the MOUs are already in place. They're already under construction. You know, I think that the reason why we're not going slightly higher than 6 to 8 is that a couple of the stores, even though they have MOUs, they were fourth quarter stores, and it looks like they'll, you know, move off into early 2017.
Right. And including the 3 new cities you are going to expand into, how many cities we are already in Indonesia currently?
I think 66. Yeah, 66. We have 66 66 cities. So another 3. So that's nice. it really just highlights how underpenetrated the landscape is here. You know, as we've mentioned many times before, you know, still cities with, you know, over 1 million people without any modern malls.
And my last question would be the store size. Are we still opening new stores in the 6,000 to 7,000 square meter, or we are actually going smaller when we expand more outside?
So the average for 2016 looks like it's going to be in line with what we have at the moment.
Okay. Got it. Thank you so much.
Pleasure. Thank you.
My next question from Divya Gangahar of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good evening, Richard. Hi, Mike. Thanks for the call. Just a couple of more broad-based questions, really. The first one is that, you know, now clearly you have more cash at hand. Growth trends are more favorable. Inventory also doesn't seem to be an issue. Is there any change in thought process of you developing your own shopping centers at some point of time to basically accelerate store expansion? Or is that something that management is still very certain of not doing? And my second question is just on the category mix. There has been a lot of focus on women's wear, and you know, that's something that you've been talking about. It was probably less than 10% of sales 3-4 years back. Could you give us some sense on, you know, how that category has shaped up more recently, and, you know, any major categories that you're seeing that have expanded in contribution quite a bit versus, say, 3-4 years back? Thanks.
I'll just comment on the building of the shopping malls, and Mike will talk a little bit more about the category mix. You know, I think basically our strategy remains unchanged. You know, we still believe in pursuing an asset-light strategy, kind of sticking to what we're good at, if you like. So we don't have any intention on, you know, going out and actually building malls ourselves. You know, even though we're at 6 to 8, I suspect that we'll still probably open more stores perhaps than the other department store operators in 2016, as we did last year. Hopefully that answers your question. The pipeline still remains quite strong. You know, we still have over 50 stores in the pipeline. You know, we still are aggressively pursuing additional locations. So, you know, we basically plan to stay on track at the moment.
Okay.
With regard to merchandise mix, you know, anything that deals with female apparel and merchandise for ladies is a priority for us, and I think that if you were to look at our numbers, you would see that cosmetics has become an accelerated, explosive growth area for us. We're seeing increases in bags, that we have ever had before because it's relatively new. And our ladies apparel and youth girls still remain strong. First quarter was not quite as strong as it has been over the last year and a half. However, we have big plans for it in second quarter as we go forward. So we will keep a focus on the ladies' apparel business and anything that's sold to a lady as we go forward. We have a number of new programs as far as merchandise designs. We have some labels that we are going to accelerate on. The American Jeans concept has been beyond our expectations. So we really expect to almost double American Jeans over the next year, creating shops, et cetera. And it also, what we're finding is with the increased affluence of the female customer, there are other opportunities for us to develop Gap merchandise as we go forward. So we have a very, I have a very high degree of confidence that we're going to continue to grow that end of the business.
Perfect. Thanks. Just one housekeeping question. What's the current number for the membership cards and what percentage of sales is coming through that?
So currently, so at the end of the first quarter, we had 3.36 million members. Yeah, and interestingly enough, so the percentage of revenues also increased. To, let's have a look, 43.5%. Actually, also what's quite interesting, the average rupiah per transaction for our club members rose, it was last year was about 26% higher. Now it's just over 20% higher than a non-MCC cardholder. So the program continues to perform well, and I think, actually, as we talked about a little when we met you recently, we're also excited about the work we're doing in terms of, you know, analyzing our customers' behaviors and providing them with better and better offers.
Right. Perfect. Thank you very much, Richard. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Okay. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. Our next question comes from Steve Schwander, United OTC Bank. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. Good evening. First of all, congratulations on the excellent result. Just a couple of questions for me. First of all, as a refresher, I know that you guys are adding some ownership in the Matahari Mall with your $95 billion purchase in the global e-commerce Indonesia. If you could remind me again, how do you treat that in your P&L in terms of profit reporting? Second, when I look a little bit closer on the financials, two things jumps out. First of all, on employee obligation, as it comes down to the bonus that was actually being recorded, it's down significantly, at least from December. Can you explain why it's down from like $194 billion to $123? And the third question is on rent. It's actually up 20% year-on-year when it comes down to operate, which is one of your major expenses. What is the outlook of this one going forward? Can it the growth rate, can it temper off in the later part of this year? Okay, thank you. Those are my three questions.
All right, okay. So thank you for your question. So firstly, as it relates to the stake in Matahari Mall, it doesn't show up on the P&L. It actually shows up on the balance sheet. And we basically record it as an investment at cost as opposed to equity accounting. As it relates to the reduction in employee obligations on the balance sheet, the reason for that is in the first quarter of the year, we pay out incentives and bonuses across the company based on the performance in the previous year. As it relates to rent being up 20% year-on-year, really a lot of that's driven by the fact that we're adding new stores. So obviously we have a lot more stores in the first quarter than we did in the first quarter of the prior year. just as a point of interest, you know, if you look at across our portfolio of stores, you know, on average, our rent increases probably mid to high single digits in terms of an annual increase. So that's perhaps the best way to think about it. Did that cover all your questions?
Yes, maybe one follow-up question when it comes down to your e-commerce P&L treatment. At what point percentage ownership you will start trading it in your P&L?
Well, if our stake went to 20%, then we would be obliged to use equity accounting, and we would then take our share of their profits or losses into our account. We have mentioned before that we do not intend to take our stake up to that level. In fact, we don't see at this point in time, we're not planning on any additional investment in Matahari Mall. As many of you know, Matahari Mall is involved in funding discussions. Should other investors come in, actually our stake of 10% would be diluted if we didn't put in any more.
Okay, thank you very much. And one more time, congratulations on the great results.
Thank you. Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. Mr. Remsen, please continue.
Okay, so if nobody has any more questions, we would very much like to thank everybody for being on the call, and we look forward to talking to you again in the near future.
That does
conclude. So we can finish the call. Yeah.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.